Welcome to Money Your Way. My name is Jess, and I'll be your host. This podcast is all about empowering women just like you to feel confident when making choices in the world of personal finance. It can feel super confusing and overwhelming when there's unfamiliar lingo and tons of options, so I'll do my best to keep this fun and simple as we learn together. What do you say? Let's jump right in. Welcome to today's episode. Our guest today is actually our first male guest on the show, and it is Gordon Stein. He's a personal finance blogger, speaker, and author of the book Cashflow Cookbook. So, Gordon, welcome to the show.
Oh, listen, it's great to be here, Jessica. Thank you.
Of course. And we had the topic to kind of talk about building financial wellness with minimal effort. I mean, that sounds amazing to everyone. And also having minimal sacrifice and no budgeting as part of the mix. Can you share a little bit about yourself and then talk about why that topic is something that you're passionate about and even pursued for yourself going forward with the book?
Yeah, great. Thank you. So I spent about 35 years as a high-tech executive, sales, marketing, and operations, companies like Dell and Apple. And always very interested in personal finance. I've got a massive library of personal finance books. And I came across this idea of how to get free car washes legally. And I thought that was kind of neat. And the trick was that it was easier than the normal way of buying gas. It was about gathering points from a gas retailer. They had a little dongle you fit on your keychain so you could touch it to the pump, pay for your gas, track the points, get these car washes, and I thought that was pretty slick. So it saved about $25 a month. Not that that's going to make any difference, but it was just interesting because there was minimal effort, minimal sacrifice. And then about a month after that, I heard a jingle on the radio for a discounted home alarm monitoring company. And so I called them up, and lo and behold, I could save another $25 a month on my home alarm monitoring. So I had savings of $50 a month, which isn't, of course, going to do anything. But I thought it's really interesting because I was getting savings without giving anything up. I didn't have to drive to 6 grocery stores. I didn't have to clip coupons. I didn't have to give up my glass of Malbec at the end of the day. But I was getting these savings. So that kind of piqued my curiosity. And I started building a list of these things, minimum $25 a month, things that you or I would do, Jessica, and, you know, things that could actually save money. So the list grew, and I winnowed it down to the best 60 of them. And then it became a spreadsheet. And I said, how much would this be worth if we took these savings and put them out in future value, 10, 20, 30 years? And the numbers were absolutely astronomical. We could create a whole country of millionaires based on this. I took it to my accountant and I said, where's the errors? And he said, geez, there aren't any. This is great. It should become a book. And that became Cashflow Cookbook. Then it became a newspaper column. And now I speak on the book full time.
That's incredible. And I just did the math really quickly on a calculator. $25, and you said minimum 25 was kind of to make it on the list for yourself, times 60 items, which I'm impressed to hear there were even more than 60. Just that math alone is $1,500, and we're talking monthly. This is incredible.
The real number is $13,000 monthly, because most of the recipes are much, much more than $25.
Wow, that's amazing. So do you have different categories that we can kind of cover? Obviously, we don't have the time to go into all 60, and people should absolutely purchase the book. We can talk about where they can get that, but share a little bit about some of the categories that are covered in this. You shared home security and car washes, which I love that you're saying you're not sacrificing your time, but also you're still getting the service. You're still getting your car wash. It's not like saying I'm cutting out my car wash and now I have a dirty car, but I saved $25. So this is really exciting.
Yeah, most personal finance books is this tug of war, you know, let's budget, let's save 10% of what we earn, let's give up everything that we love so you can have a great future. I think that's nonsense. I think we want to live our lives now. We want to have fun. But the whole point of Cashflow Cookbook is let's easily grind down all of these monthly recurring expenses. So to your point, the categories start off with housing, then we get into transportation, food and drink, then we get into household, finally lifestyle and financial. So there's 6 categories, 10 recipes per category.
Amazing. So where were you finding some of these? You had talked about kind of coming across the gas station fob for car washes, and then the radio for the home security. Were a lot of these just paying attention, or did you start to do some extensive research and really develop some of the recipes yourself?
Yeah, it was 2 years of research to pull it all together. It was a mix of things. I had readers of my blog at cashflowcookbook.com were sending in ideas. You know, I had friends doing ideas. I did a lot of research online. I found some really surprising ones. And what was fascinating is a lot of them are kind of indirect. They're things you don't think about. And it's not about, hey, give up this to save that. It's about, here's a more clever way of buying this thing. And you still get everything you want. Let's still have a great wardrobe. Let's enjoy nice meals out. Let's do all the things we want to do. But, you know, like I give you lots of examples, but by bringing these numbers down, we don't give anything up. And yet now we've got more cash flow available. We want to lock that into either pay down debt or do more investing. So you're really using this cash flow to build your wealth. That gives you freedom, gives you opportunities.
Right. Can you share maybe one of the recipes that is one of your favorites? Either it's because you were so surprised by it and you thought it was a really awesome discovery, or just personally for yourself, you found that it made such a large impact and it's your favorite for that reason.
Yeah, my favorite shifted over the years. So
that's fair.
My all-time favorite, which didn't make the book first came out in 2017, the Canadian edition, and the US edition is going to be out this June of 2022. And I missed it for all of those years. I missed it for 5 years. And it's actually the biggest single recipe in the book. And that is your credit score. And I missed it because I never even thought about my credit score. You know, I was making good money. I had several credit cards with $20,000 or $30,000 limits. No problem. Never thought about it. Moved to the United States. Couldn't get a credit card for $300. I have no credit score here.
Oh, wow.
It was fascinating. And that's what got me learning about it. So here's some interesting math on the credit scores. Most of us have no idea what our credit score is. You can find it out. It's easy. You can find it out for free. And it's a number. Goes up to 800. So if you have a credit score in the 500s, you're going to be at a huge disadvantage. And here's the difference. As an example, on a car loans will swing from about 3% to 16% interest, completely depending on your credit score. That can make a difference of 70% or more on the interest you pay on a car loan. So see what's interesting? It's very stealthy, but we'll come into how to improve your credit score in a minute. It can also swing the cost of your car insurance by 30 or 40% and the cost of your house insurance by 30 or 40%. Not to mention it can shut you out of jobs and apartment if you have a bad credit score. So a great tip for your listeners today is they want to go find out what their credit score is. You can find it on Experian.com at no cost. And then look at your credit file, because in many cases, there'll be errors in there that are making your credit score worse and you're paying all the time for it. So that's an example that could be worth thousands of dollars a year.
That's actually incredible. I tell people all the time with this podcast that I'm learning alongside them. And I did not realize that on the insurance aspect, that is a factor as well. So I know I personally do track my own score, but I'm only seeing it from my credit card reporting it. So I'm not seeing the whole report. So that's going to be a homework item for myself as well to kind of go pull it up and read through every item.
It's a really good place to start. I think there's other ones that are even quicker to start. I think a really good starting point is to have a look at your home and your car insurance. And even if you're a renter, you probably have a renting insurance package, or you should, or life insurance. So those are all easily compared online. There's all kinds of engines that you can get on. And there's examples that in the ingredients section at cashflowcookbook.com. And you can go in, it's about 15 minutes to reshop your car insurance. In my case, here in Ohio, the swing was $319 a month. And these are all major insurance brands, $319 from the most expensive to the least expensive. And I recently reshopped mine, saved $2,000 a year. And I did that while increasing my liability coverage fivefold.
So you had even better insurance.
Dramatically better insurance, much more coverage, and $2,000 a year that I can use. I don't have any debt, but if I did, I could pay down debt with it, or I can use it to increase my investments. That one was from an independent insurance broker. I actually used Goosehead Insurance. And they work with all of the major brands. So you can work with an organization like that, or you can use one of the car insurance comparison engines online. Same thing for house insurance, same thing for life insurance.
And I think I've heard before, so I know my car insurance is on like the 6-month cycle, but you don't have to wait for the renewal to change. Is that something that you discovered as well? I just want to make sure I'm sharing correct information.
Yeah, you can do it right away and they should rebate you back for the unused portion of your insurance. But, you know, obviously check with them. There's a great place to start. You know, I call that broiling a bill, lots of cooking puns and cash flow cookbook. So I want to start by broiling a bill, pick one. And then as soon as you get that savings, $100, $200, right away, you want to call it savor the savings. And by that, I mean, let's lock in an increased payment on our car loan. Let's pay our credit cards down more rapidly, or let's increase our investment with our financial advisor. So right away, you're going to get those savings. In the book, I show you what it means, what those savings mean for 10, 20, or 30 years of investment. I use the number of 7%. Just to give the reader an idea of how powerful these things are. And honestly, you know, my keynote speech that I do, it's 0 to 1 million in 60 minutes. And I show people exactly how to add $1 million to their wealth of retirement. It takes, I can explain it in 60 minutes. You've already got the good gist of it now, but it's really powerful. And if you used every recipe in the book, it would add $2 million to your wealth in just 10 years.
That was going to be my next question, in what time frame. Obviously, listeners have different time spans until quote unquote retirement, which isn't an age, it's a dollar amount. So that is 10 years is something that for my core group of listeners in their 20s and 30s, very approachable, and also something that's exciting to kind of think about. You had mentioned one of the categories being clothing, and knowing that most of the people listening are women, I think there's going to be a lot of interest around that. Can you share one or two little tips around clothing and how they're able to save on that budget each month?
Yeah, there's all kinds of ideas on clothing in the book, but the really central one and the most surprising one of all, and people don't believe it at first, then they go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And the research tells us that we only ever wear 20% of the clothing that we buy. Now, if you think about the implications of that, it's massive. But let me start with the resistance to the idea. People say, oh, that's crazy. That's absolutely not true. It absolutely is true. And for years, I was at a company, we ran this coat drive to gather, you know, winter coats for the homeless people. And so the first year I thought, what a great idea, you know, gathered up in my family of five, I had all these coats and off they went. We ran the program a year later and I thought, well, this is never going to work because everyone's already cleaned out their closets. So I said to my family, okay, whatever coats you don't need, gather them up in the front hall. The pile was almost as big the second year. And, you know, when you're heading out to an important job interview, you've got a new date from match.com or whatever it is, you're going to go into your wardrobe. You're not picking your second best or your third best outfit. You're going to pick your best outfit. And we do that every time we go into our closet. So if it's not at the dry cleaner or in the wash, we're going to go down the pecking order. It means there's a ton that gets left at the back. It also means when we go shopping, often we're not shopping mindfully. We're shopping for the sake of shopping. You see this fabulous deal on this blue sweater, and it's a designer label. You can't believe the price. You're all excited. And you bring it home, you fold it up, you put it in the closet, right next to the other blue sweater that's almost identical to it, and you completely forgot all about it. So you're not going to wear the two blue sweaters, or you don't have time to try it on because it's such an amazing deal. It's on sale. You get it home and you go to wear it, and the sleeves are 3 inches too short or 2 inches too long, or it just looks too boxy or whatever. You're never going to wear it. Who wants to wear a top that makes you look boxy or, you know, whatever the case may be? So just by shopping more mindfully, it's all about saving the waste in clothing. In fact, you could double your wardrobe of great clothes just by not buying all of this other stuff that you're wasting our money on. And everyone can do the job right now. Do a ruthless clean out of your closet, put it all in a garbage bag, and figure there's 20 items in there at $50 an item. That's $1,000 you just threw out.
Wow. We're recording in my closet. I don't have a recording studio, and I'm listening to you say this, and I'm just looking at pieces that I haven't worn in 2 years. So I totally agree with that. I also really feel that it's relatable to say people don't believe it. They don't feel that they only use 20%. And I've heard before, I don't remember from what sort of spring cleaning or some kind of book or tips it was, to change your hangers around. So do them backwards. That way you could do a quick visual overview of your closet. When you wear the item, you flip the hanger and you can quickly look to see what percentage, how many pieces you're not wearing. Imagine doing that for a year, specifically also in like locations that have seasons. You're in Ohio, you have seasons. I'm in Texas, we only have two. and kind of really realizing that you are pulling for the same pieces again. I can 100% agree with that, both in things that are in drawers and on my hangers. It's just, I think, an emotional or mental game to want to get rid of it. Do you talk at all in your book or in your blog about that mental and emotional connection to spending or items that we've spent our money on?
I've got a blog post coming up on it from a colleague of mine. He calls himself the Bicologist. And he focuses on retail spending and he's a psychologist. So we'll get into some of his ideas. You'll see that up on Cashflow Cookbook pretty soon. The book really focuses on, I don't do as much on discretionary spending because again, I don't want to get into this tug of war where, geez, you know, I want my latte. No, you can't have your latte, you know? So the whole idea of the book is easy ways to pull down all these insurance bills, your cell phone bill, your, you know, your gas bill, electricity bill. All of these things can be lowered. All the costs associated with your vehicles, those can all get lowered really, really painlessly. In fact, if you put in, I would say 10 hours, you can make a massive difference on your finances. And we all watch on average 20 hours of TV a week. So we all actually do have the time. So there's a technique for all of these things. And that's even before the discretionary. Lots you can do on the discretionary spend on, you know, impulse purchases through the week or whatever. But before we even get there, I would say the average one of your listeners can free up at least $500 a month and get that going to a good cause, like paying down debt or increasing their investment. Then there's a whole nother discussion on the discretionary spend. In the book, though, I do talk about discretionary. And these are things outside of that ongoing monthly spend. So there's some simple ways to tackle that. I'll give you one that rides as an example, kind of in between the two. So prescription drugs is an interesting one. You don't usually think of that in terms of your monthly bill, but if you have any kind of a chronic condition, and many of us do, so I take a cholesterol pill every month. First got this prescription and left my doctor's office like most of us do, and whoa, there's a pharmacy right there. So, and I go right there to get my prescription filled, $107 a month. I need these pills for the rest of my life. So it's not a massive amount of money, but $107. So I said, geez, you know, it's a little pricey. Pharmacist said, oh, get one of our drug cards. Price drops to $63 a month. I said, how much is the drug card? $20 a year. There's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I was quite pleased with myself. I had dinner with my brother-in-law and he said, no. He says, you want to use my online pharmacy that I use. He says, check out the prices there. So I check out the prices on the one he recommended, $13 a month, and you go pick them up at the drugstore. 107, 63, 13. I thought I could do a little more research. So I find another one. They deliver it to my house every month for $7.
So now you're even saving more money and you don't have to go pick it up.
Right. So I did a blog post, how I saved 96% of my prescription drugs. But even if you have insurance, this is still going to likely be cheaper than your copay, right? And it saves you on the deductibles. So there's another example. I gave up nothing. This is before we even get into the discretionary things. $100 a month, boom, right over to my financial advisor.
I absolutely love that. And I think what's so cool about that story that you don't touch on is that it was just a conversation with your brother. This is the power behind making money a normal thing to talk about and how it can impact other people just by sharing and having that conversation in the first place and it not being taboo to discuss it. So I love that. Let me ask you, what's next for you? A lot of times cookbooks have part two. Are you continuing to look for more recipes? What's on the timeline?
Really, it's about, well, the U.S. edition is just coming out now, and it was pretty much a rewrite from the original. So once that's out and rolling, then I want to go back and apply all of that to the Canadian book. So the two of them will come up. I've got a cover competition on the go right now to get a great cover for it, and lots of speaking engagements. So, you know, if your listeners are with a company, financial wellness is so important. Money is the biggest stress for us as Americans. There's a huge opportunity to help with that. It's not hard to fix it. And I look at these wellness programs where, you know, they spend a lot of time and money helping people to reduce their stress, meditating and doing all these things. Those are great. Why not go right back to the root cause of the stress, which for many of us is our money. And it's really not that hard to fix. So getting that word out there, you know, a lot of public speaking. I work with financial advisors to help their clients free up more cash for investing. A lot of that, and doing a lot of podcasts because there's a lot of interest in, you know, this kind of thing. It's really easy to renovate your finances. So that's where my focus is. And then once the book is out, I want to get back to getting more blog posts out for people.
Fantastic. I'll link all of those. What are some other ways that people can stay in touch with you? You have the blog. I'll link the book once it becomes available. So I'll just put the name for now. And do you have any social media as well that you're active on?
I've got all kinds of social media. So all of them are Cashflow Cookbook, other than Twitter, which is Cashflow Cookbook, because they didn't give me room for the two vowels. So it's Cashflow Cook BK on Twitter. Everything else is at Cashflow Cookbook.
Fantastic. So
follow me in any of those. If you go to cashflowcookbook.com, there's lots of blog posts on there, and there's an ingredients section that works with the book. So in the ingredients section, that's where I list out car insurance comparison websites, home insurance comparison websites, all kinds of providers of things that can help save you money. But the detailed recipes are all in Cashflow Cookbook.
I know our listeners are going to find so much value in that. Let me close out by asking you the question, what is one permission slip that you would want to leave our listeners with? It can be to do something, to not, doesn't need to be related to our topic today, just kind of that first thing that comes to mind.
Well, that's a good one. I'll give you one, something outside of finances, because I think we've covered that one. You know what? They can do anything that they want to do. Real quick example on my Zoom background, people often ask me if that's a virtual background. I've got some guitars hanging on the wall. They're real guitars and I play them all every day. And people often say, geez, I really wish I was musical. And to those people, I say, I am unencumbered by any kind of musical gifts whatsoever. I was really interested in playing the guitar, you know, the rock fantasy and all of that. And I just worked really hard at it. And, you know, I'm not ready for, you know, Graceland or anything like that, but have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, I think I'd say to your listeners, they really can do anything they want to do. So if they've dreamed of running a marathon, they can do it. They want to play a musical instrument, they can do that. If your money's holding you back, get that fixed up and go live your best life.
I love that. Thank you so much, Gordon, for being on the show. This was a fantastic conversation. And like I said, I learned something. I have homework. That's what makes some of my favorite episodes.
Great. Thank you so much. Real pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Money Your Way. If you love this episode or you learned something new, it would mean the world to me if you just took a few seconds and shared it with a friend. I cannot wait to keep learning and growing in this journey together.